Blog
Let's
Talk
do
Radio.
It. Oh, oh yeah. I said, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, and a crew coming to you live. We got Coach Rodney Lowe in the house, George. He's coming through, and much, much more. And as always, there is no better love than self-care. Greater love. Come on in. No greater love or no better love than for self and kind. Y'all know that by now. We have to love ourselves. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Right? And I'm not talking about this fake, surface, superficial love. I'm talking about the kind of love that lasts forever. That kind of love that we have to keep it real with our people and with each other. But we also have to practice empathy and sympathy, right? Because our people are hurt, damaged, traumatized, ill, if you will, and just sometimes jaded, right? And we got to do the fixing, right? And sometimes it's a salve of kindness, and sometimes people need to just go see the healer or the doctor. That could be at your church, mosque, synagogue, or your local counselor or therapist, or even hospital for that matter. But I think what we're trying to do here is we're trying to be a different kind of hospital, the mental and emotional, cultural hospital that you can come and get some wellness. You can come and get just an injection of some positive empowerment for African-American or indigenous or black Americans, right, in the diaspora. That's what we're talking about. So African-American Empowerment Saturday is about really helping us to help ourselves. And our mission is to empower our people to ensure that our needs are met. The African-American community that is through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, and empower each member, each person. And we plan to do that through collaborations, right? Working together, it can happen, right? And so we're going to work together with community-based organizations like we're doing now to promote the concept of peace. Probably asking now, if you don't already know, the concept of peace is really simple, right? To really look at reaching out toward a unified agenda, right, that trains and develops us to understand the system of American politics as it works, so we can understand how to navigate the system that we're in until we either create our own system or we transition into another system. But if you're living and working this one, you better know how it works. Next is economics, the economic system of capitalism. Learn and understand how to navigate and how this system works so you can understand the importance of money and how to circulate that money in your communities, right? And then back through your community again, and then back through your community again, and then back through your community again, washing that money with your neighbor, right? And then spending money with each other. Then if it circulates out, let's see if we can get up to 46 or 50 times before it leaves our community and just not right into the basket and in the hands of others and then out the door. And we don't have any for ourselves. Now, we're getting products, right, goods and services, but what are we creating? What are we producing? Next, it's the A, right, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, right, mental health, physical health, and emotional health. What is your mental health agenda? What is your A agenda? That means your physical health. Are you eating well? Are you taking care of yourself, right? Are you dieting, exercise? Those things really matter. Then there's the C, relevant cultural programs like this one to really give us confidence. And the more we learn, right, the more we learn about history and what Brother George is talking about with Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment and the one with Brother Booker, we begin to educate ourselves because knowledge is power, and we know that, right? Relevant cultural programs to get us to stand up, put our chin up in our chest out, and be proud of who we are, how we look, and all those things that really matter to us. And then lastly, it's a comprehensive education that really looks at examining those areas and refining them until we get better and better and better at them. And once we master those systems, then guess what? You can put down all the cheese on the trap you want. We ain't eating off them traps because we ain't rats. How about that? And now is the Stay Immaculate Moment. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, I'm doing this every week just in case y'all don't know. If you don't like it, sorry.
Man, Stan, oh, yeah. Deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
this deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is right. Right, every week, same thing. No, it's redundant, but if we don't understand the pillars of the NAAEA and become effective at implementing and executing the system of peace, then we're in the long run going to be behind the eight ball. So understanding the system dynamics works so well for us, and we have to continue to do that as we continue to work together and collaborate for change in our communities, in our homes, and in our families, and within ourselves. All right, now it's my favorite segment of the show. It's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah, you know how I'm bringing him in just right on this beautiful Saturday. Come on, brother.
Bring it!
Show.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing well, bro. Doing well. I don't have any complaints.
What you got for me today?
Looking forward to the show. Well, looking forward to the show. With Brother Rallo, and I think it'd really be good. It'd be interesting for our people to hear what goes on in the community and those who work hard to make things, you know, better and more prosperous for our people, and they sacrifice their time and energy to make that happen. So we're going to hear from a brother that does that today. Now, from the Nguza Saba, Seven Principles of Kwanzaa. Today's principle is my favorite. Kujichagulia, which is self-determination. To define ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Rites of passage and initiation ceremonies in traditional Africa, in traditional African culture, place a great deal of emphasis on self-discipline as a means of attaining personal power and realizing one's full potential. Self-discipline and self-expression are the twin keys to a balanced, effective, and productive character. Now, I'm going to finish off the conversation relating to hair today. I think I read from another book last week. However, the name of the book, The Journey of the Song Our People. And I'm going to finish off with hair. A reason for evolved hair. True black men and women with evolved hair must have been mighty few 20,000 years ago. And only in Africa, where mutation never slowed down, were mutational change in protective to the species as a evolved hair, as is evolved hair. Selection for protection increases geometrically. Today, Afrocort hair has increased to more than 7% of the world population. However, we must not forget why hair is on our head in the first place, protection. And nature went all out to protect the African brain. Could it be that nature is trying to tell us something? A strange-looking brother say it to me once, one day, when we have shed our brainwash, have shed the foreign religions of Islam and Christianity, pure light will emanate from our children's heads. I had never seen him before, and I've never seen him since. Could it be that he was trying to tell us something about our brains, evolution? I think I read that segment last week, but I don't think that that doubling down is going to hurt it any, because the primary function of our hair was to protect our brain, and in particular, the African brain. And we have the most evolved hair, and that's why we're the only ones who have it. And we're the creative people that started everything on the planet through our brains. And other people's brains function as well, but we laid the foundation for the civilization that we live in today. And that's it's a topic that could be talked on, you know, for hours on end, you know, describing how things originated amongst our people and then was scattered throughout the world. And the world travels that our people went on to the different parts of the world, and we left landmarks to demonstrate that we're there. So, for example, the landmarks that you see in Central and South America, of pyramids and different stone heads with African braids carved out in the back of them. Stone heads that's like 8 feet tall. You know, so these weren't just small little trinkets. These were huge, recognizable symbols that a group of people was here that looked like that. Because history serves as a way of establishing what people do. And history has demonstrated that people don't carve out and make things look like other people. They do things that look like themselves. And so when you travel throughout the Americas, when you travel throughout Europe, and you travel throughout different parts of the world, when you dig down into the other stratas of civilization, you'll find that we've been there. And so, Brother Marvin, I wanted to end on that note, excuse me. And if you have the empowerment question of the week, I'm ready.
All right, brother. Thank you. Actually, I do. This week's question kind of flows along with Kuji Chagulia. That is self-discipline, right? In relationship to our people, how important is self-discipline to our charting a course toward this new reality that we can create for ourselves?
Well, we're the most disciplined people on the planet in our natural state. But once we came here and we experienced the enslavement or the Maafa, it took away our many of the characteristics that were beneficial to us when we were doing a lot of the creativity in the world. And a part of that was discipline, because in order to study the stars, to study the sky, you had to look into the sky for hours. You had to be disciplined to make that happen. In order to come up with the mathematical science, starting, you know, from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, until we got to Kafi. You know, so all of those mathematical sciences are our invention. And then when you look at chemistry, discipline was everything for us as a people. And the thing that hurts us the most today is that we have a lack of discipline, you know. And so once we get back to a lot of the principles that's in Kwanzaa, and the one in particular that Brother Marvin is speaking about, Kuji Chagalia, once we get back to that, we'll be on our way as a people of rebuilding, you know, ourselves as a group and reestablishing ourselves in the world. So I hope that answers your question, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. You're exactly right. And as we continue to move forward, discipline is going to be the pillar and the foundation, self-discipline as well. That's going to be the foundation for change within ourselves, within our lives, within our communities. And so we're going to have to get to becoming very, very disciplined and well-managed again as we continue to move forward. All right, we're going to move over to the one with Brother Book in just a minute. But Brother Coach Rodney Lowe is on deck, right? We're going to be talking about passion, purpose, and his people, right, his journey through this life as we continue to hear his unique experience. 845-277-9250 is the call-in line. We got Slido live today. Slido is in effect. The number is 307-2304. Let me get Brother Book in here with the one, and then we'll be right back with Coach Lowe. Going nowhere, but you got to be the one to get somewhere. Brother Booker, how are you?
Good, brother. How you doing, sir?
Well today, sir. Yourself?
I'm fine, brother. Let me begin like I always do by saying peace to all the brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice. This week, the one is number 8. We have made it up to number 8, which is the one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen. Now, To be an effective communicator, you must listen in order to be an effective, as they say, two-way communication. As Brother Kevlon broke it down a couple of weeks ago, I believe, that they have what they call a process, the communication process, where you have a sender and a receiver, and in that process, you're the sender, you're trying to get a message, you're trying to communicate a thought, something on your mind or a feeling to another person. And to do that in that process, they call what they call, you need to encode what you're trying to send to the receiver. And then the
Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. I think we lost Brother Booker.
You can't hear me?
So,
yeah.
Brother Mom, you can't hear me?
Brother
He's
Booker?
There.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
As I was saying, in that process, communication process, there's a sender and a receiver, as Brother Kevlon broke it down a couple of weeks ago, and I've got a thought in my mind or a feeling or something I'm trying to communicate to another person, so I have to do what they call encode that message, and then the receiver has to then decode it, and we're hoping that it's decoded the way I encoded it, and it's understood on the other end. But we need to make sure that we're doing that, that we are effectively communicating from the receiver to the sender, from the sender to the listener, in other words. And one of the ways they are taught to do that is ask questions. You need to get feedback to make sure that the message is received the way you intended it to be. And what we talk about, for example, I'll give you an example. When we talk about, when I talk to young folk at school all the time, I don't use them million-dollar words. Like if I say, I have a myriad of experience, or I have a plethora of experiences and so forth, well, why not just say a lot? because that's what it is. That's what we're talking about. And I need to make sure my message is being understood as I intended, as is when someone is talking to me. I need to repeat sometime to them, so I'm interpreting it this way. I'm hearing you say this. To be the one of the qualities is a great communicator. The one knows how to listen and knows how to effectively communicate. And that's what we must do. And all of the characteristics and so forth that we talk about, the qualities of the one, if we do them all, I guarantee we'll be like what Brother George, Brother George just said, disciplined when we do that. And it, along the line of self-determination. So that's it for this week, Brother, on the one. He's a great communicator and knows how to listen.
Brother Booker, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Sir.
As
that
always.
One is important, right? That communication
yes,
is key, right?
Yes,
communication
sir.
Is power for understanding. Thank you, Brother Booker. All right, now,
thank
let's
you,
get
sir.
To our featured guest today. Appreciate you, brother. All right. Coming up on our lecture time. You know, we like to call this our online classroom. So today we have coming to you live, Coach Rodney Lowe Taylor from Richmond, Virginia. Come on, Rodney. Come on, Lowe. Come on, brother.
Bring it.
What? Come on now. Coach Lowe, how are you, brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
All right, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. So I want to start out by giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners, talk about you and yourself and what you do, and then we'll get into a little bit deeper conversation.
My name is Rodney Taylor. It's a kid from Jackson Ward. I work with Parks and Rec, and I also have my own nonprofit organization to help addicts with intervention and after-school program with the kids in Jackson Ward.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about, now you said Gilpin Court, for our listeners who don't know what Gilpin Court is and what Jackson Ward is, can you tell them a little bit about that area?
Jackson Ward is in the heart of the city. My grandmother and my grandfather said it was the Harlem of the South, where it was rich with black people, black society, black-owned businesses, where we just love our people before, the government or whoever diced that thing up, you know, with that I-95 highway.
Okay, so you're saying that the government ran a highway through the Harlem of the South?
That's what they always told me. You know, that's what they always told me as a kid, you know.
Okay.
Somebody did.
So from your understanding, what do you think that highway did to the community?
I think it broke it up, you know, on purpose. Because that's a scary sight, man, to see especially black people don't need nothing but each other. You know, our own bakeries, our own hotels, my own bank, Miss Maggie, the great Miss Maggie Walker, the first Oprah, you know, our own entertainment for my own people, you know, the Hippodrome, all that stuff, man. So to have that just in one neighborhood imagine that today.
Okay. Well, we've lost him. Call is dropped. And that happens in live radio. 845-277-9250 is the number to call. Hopefully we can get Brother Rodney back in just a minute. But what he's sharing is, and I'm a native of Richmond, and my family pretty much reared us in that area that he's talking about. And so as I grew up, I can remember that bridge or that highway coming through the community. And on the other side of the highway from where my family lived was our church. And so we had to cross the bridge to get to the church over the highway. And so understanding now as I've gotten older how that highway really changed the dynamic of a community. And maybe a month ago I went down to 3rd Street and I looked over the highway to the next connecting part of 3rd Street, which is, of course, disconnected from the community. And so you basically just built a highway right in the heart of a community, tearing down houses. And our family church was saved by our own advocacy to be able to say that we're going to save our church. And if you come through Richmond and where 95 and 64 splits, you'll see this church sitting there. And that's our family church, Six Mount Zion, which was founded a long time ago, right after slavery. All right, we got Coach Rodney back. Mm-hmm. All right, Coach Lowe.
Yo.
We lost you.
You
were telling us about your community.
Works.
So.
Yeah.
They can't stop us. They can only hope to contain us. And that is what we're going to stop them from doing, because we on the move and we're going to keep going. Again, we bringing it and you right here and we ain't going nowhere because we right
Talk
here. All right, so tell us about Gilpin Court and the Gilpin community now and what looks like now. You know, you talked about the Harlem of the South and you talked about the Hippodrome and all of these different things, Miss Maggie Walker, which was a great. But let's speak to what the reality of it is now. Can you share that in the work that you're doing?
Today it's like it's poverty stricken. Our kids are learning below average, purposely, I think. This thing I guess they call fentanyl is in the last probably 2 or 3 months might have had maybe like 40 overdoses. Our young brothers are killing each other, man. And if I'm sorry too, hey Mr. Brown, man, I ain't saying my manners are bad, but if God willing, all of us die from old age and our young brothers are killing each other, man, eventually our race is going to be extinct. So just all that in abundance, and me being at Calhoun Man Day, all this news that I hear from the streets are coming from kids that are in elementary and middle school that's not even bothered by this stuff. You know, they'll tell me what happened and just go play. So it's not even normal for a kid to even not tell me how that day was in school, or even what they going through, or do they got in the homework first, but who got shot or who, you know, got killed, and just go about their day, you know?
Wow. So from your perspective, right, because some of our listeners are not experiencing that at all, right? And so they are, I would say, living in safer zones, right? So would you convey or share what that experience is like for the children to live in that community and have those kind of experiences?
Especially speaking for me as a kid that you know, came from Jackson Ward, and I'm a third generation Jackson Ward kid. Before I broke the cycle myself to move my family out of it, you know, because I didn't want my daughter, the love of my life, to grow up in the same situation I did, but just to hit a gunshot. It's like living in a war zone, you know, to get in the tub and underneath the bed every time, you know, the gunshots. To see the dope boys and the walking zombies, it's almost like a movie. It's almost like a movie with no director, you know.
So how do you, as an individual who's third generation, right, cope with that, right? Because you're seeing it every day, and do we numb ourselves to it? And what advice would you provide to our listeners, or information to our listeners, about what that experience is like, and what can we do to maybe change some of those things?
I can only speak for myself, brother. Me, God willing, making it out of it. It's going to take us as a people to come help our people. You know, we can't look for nobody else to save us, and they got to be people that's from it, that know it, that know the pain, that know the struggle to come back in and fix it. You know, because to the world, even myself, I was collateral damage before I made myself collateral beauty.
Mm. All right, let's unpack that for a minute, right? Can you speak to what your definition of collateral damage is? And then we'll talk about collateral beauty after that.
Just like, you know, just I said, just coming from that situation, you know, you can develop post-traumatic stress just from that, just from becoming numb to pain. So nobody should become numb to pain. You know, pain, like pain, how can you come numb to pain? You know, so I think it just start with our mindset to want more. The one more for yourself, the one more for your people, you know, your family and stuff. And, just want more, man. You know, it's kind of sad. Like, it's sad, but, you know, like, everybody know most successful people come from the mud, you know, because we appreciate whatever we get. You know what I'm saying? So my post-traumatic stress turned to post-traumatic growth.
I like that. I like that. So it would be fair to say that, one, you're resilient, two, you're overcomer, right? And what kind of support and advice and information are you giving the children that you come in contact with every day?
I just want to I try to equip them with first the life skills. You know, just knowing how to the best way of trying to avoid crime, avoid being recruited in a gang, just to not have no excuses, because the world not gonna make no kind of excuse for you. So I'm not gonna accept no excuse from a kid, because my mom was on drugs. I came from that, so I'm living proof that you can endure whatever and still make it. Like, you know, that's what was my purpose of coming back. First, I came back to my neighborhood with partnership in an in-home service. I became a counselor, and I'm a cat from the streets. You know, I was a corner boy, that now I'm in a corner office. So, you know, I just, before I help anybody, I wanted to, like, come counsel the people in my neighborhood. I'm a qualified CMHP professional, so just wanted to help, because who know that struggle better than me? You know, so I also put that on the kids. Like, you can't come at me with this going on and that going on. This going, you know, I don't give them no kind of leniency with excuses, you know? And if there's anything I can help you with, anything, even when I clock out, I'm going to that house. I'm coming to that school. Because it only takes one person to believe in you. You know?
Yeah.
So.
So you're committed, right? What I hear is you're committed. But let's talk about, like, what happened, right, to get you to the place that you're in now, right, that you were able to overcome, right? What were some of those things that happened in your life or that you needed to do yourself to overcome some of these obstacles?
For one, just coming from the streets, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of people. So I wanted, you know, more for myself. And I had my daughter. So I had to, like, I wanted to be better for her.
So, Coach Lowe, there are so many obstacles, right? When you look at coming from the distressed communities such as this, right, where you mention poverty and loss and below average education, drugs, right, murder, violence, right, and all of these other things that gangs, that our people in these, in our communities are experiencing, right? And so it's so challenging, right, to how do you, like Brother Booker says, how do they become the one with so many challenges? It's almost like at every turn there's an obstacle, and you have to really be one of the jewels, right, to escape it, right? And so how do you convey that to your kids on a daily basis to right, keep going in spite of seeing their parents maybe on drugs, or you know, somebody's been shot or killed? How do you keep them together?
I think the biggest thing is just giving them a place to go. Because if you know, the kids don't have nowhere to go, they're going to resort to that. You know, I just want to give them a haven, a place to come to be kids, because the kids are not kids no more. They're like little adults, you know, because they're taking on so much, and they're so smart these days. Like, they got so much information at the palm of their hands that we had to go either experience or, you know, somebody told us. But, you know, they walking around with little computers in their hands. So that, on top of their situation, so I just want to give them somewhere to go to just escape that, you know, and I stay here probably longer than what I supposed to, and just make sure they, like I said, fed and come do their homework, just come hang out, play sports, just be kids, man, because that's what they're missing the most. And, you know, if anything they want to talk about, they can come talk to me, and confidentiality is, you know, they trust me. They know if all else fail, if it's a hurricane, Coach Logan will be down there. You know, we can go see Coach, or he coming. You know, if they call me in the middle of the night, I'm coming.
Wow. You know what that's really called? That's called love, right?
Yeah.
When you, there's a different kind of knowing when for kids, and you know, that somebody loves you and cares about you in spite of all of this other stuff that's going on around them. And you mentioned like kids being kids again, right? And they lose that with so much trauma and pain. And you talked about PTSD. So how do you, like, when it comes to mental health, because you mentioned that you were working in an in-home, what are some things that our children have to, strategies that we have to put in place for them to just cope with all of this, what Brother Booker said, this myriad of issues, right, that they're facing on a daily basis? How do you grow up like that and be intact?
I think the biggest thing is that just they need to just need to vent. Like a lot of times when they come in and we, you know, we get their homework done, we, you know, our little snacks, and I just let them pick the topics they want to talk about. What's, you know, how could the neighborhood be better? Or one time I think it was a case where police were under question of handling things in the neighborhood, just how they feel about things. Cause they thinking too. They going through stuff too. So I would want to know what they thinking instead of me telling them as an adult, you know, what they should be doing or what they should be thinking. Let them talk to me, and then I follow suit with what they think or what they want to talk about or what's bothering them.
Okay, and you mentioned law enforcement, so let's go there for a minute. All right, what's the police presence like? Open area, and are they effective? What are your thoughts on the policing strategies, and is it a more positive community-based effort to support the people, or is it just policing, serve and protect, or policing? What do you see? We can stay away from that one if you want to.
Nah, you know, I'm to be honest, it's crazy because I'm from the streets. A lot of my family, you know, still in the streets. So it's, you know, when you're coming from the streets, you're taught to not deal with the police. But now me working at Calhoun, me on, you know, on the other side of the fence, you know, I have more encounters with the police. And, you know, they human too. I know Officer Friday and a lot of those dudes, you know, they it's some good cops. I'm not, you know, we from the street, we think all cops bad, but it's some good cops. There's some good
sure.
cops that really want to stop crime. So it was even shocking to me, to be honest. But, you know, they only can do what they can do, you know. So we got to educate ourselves on how to avoid crime because, you know, a lot of these crimes be senseless, you know, and could be avoided. But, you know, I guess they do. I'm going to say they do what they can do, you know. But I'm really big on we policing our own neighborhood.
I like that. I really do. I like that. And that's the best way, right? If we do it ourselves,
yeah.
then it's us. And,
right.
and so I
right.
think that method works. We have to organize ourselves a little bit better than we have now. Let me get back to the Calhoun. Right, you mentioned the Calhoun Center. Can you describe what that center is like? And I know if you grew up in Gilpin, you spent some time over there in your childhood like I did. So tell us about the Calhoun Center.
What it did for me or just as a center now or both? Like I said, I grew up on St. James Street, and anybody that knows Jackson Wharf, that's like the heart of Jackson Wharf. So, I didn't want to be in the house when my mom was, you know, was indulging or, you know, what was going on. So Calhoun saved my life. You know, I was born to the Immaculate Conception, so I don't know my father. So Coach Bo was like my father. So what I'm doing now, it was taught to me by him, you know. So, it was a haven. It was somewhere to go and somewhere to get away. Somewhere I could be a kid, I can escape. So this was taught to me. So today, by me being in the position that I'm in now, I can bring that back because for a while it was lost. The kids couldn't even really come in the center. So, you know, I wanted to bring back what I came up in. I think, you know, Parks and Rec is supposed to be getting the center, and the pool is going to come back. The gym is going to be remodeled. A computer lab, a music studio, just placing where they can come and just really, really be, you know, kids. So, yeah.
That's great. And I see you in there, you know, and I've come back working with the Ambassadors Program, but tell us about your nonprofit.
My nonprofit was first thought of because somebody in my family had almost, you know, OD'd to the fentanyl thing, and somebody in my family had found him and gave him the Narcan, but they did it improperly, and they almost gave him like a lung infection or whatever. So I started by every maybe twice a month, three times a month, I get the old I don't want to call them addicts, but the old, you know, people that was indulging, used to indulge, dealing with the new people that indulge, and they'll sit down and have talks, and I get them food, and I was getting I'm still getting like Narcan, and I had somebody coming in and teach them. Well, I got somebody coming in and properly teach them how to use it, you know. So I just wanted to fill that void in my neighborhood because it was like I said, it was like overdoses in abundance. So I wanted to help with that. Then another situation came up in when I was in my office and I was, you know, doing my work, and a family member came in, a kid came in, you know, my niece came in, and she was sitting across from me doing her homework. And maybe like 30 minutes later, I look and her worksheet, you know, just got her name on it. So I'm like, you know, what are you doing? I thought she was doing homework. And she wanted me to read it to her. So I'm like, you know, I thought she was, and she is a very smart kid, very smart child, but I know someone right. So I said, maybe I need to go up to these kids' school and see what's going on. And I found out, and Carver and middle, you know, Albert Hill and TJ, that the kids in my neighborhood are below level reading and math. And that's just the basics. If you can't read, you know, or you can't count, then, you know, what can you do in life? So I wanted to fill that void with, like, after school program. And me being a coach, a lot of my kids would be rec legends, but by the time they got to middle school or high school, they was always flunking off. So, you know, I just wanted to help with that way too. So it wasn't me looking for no money, no nothing, because we started with like maybe 15 to 20 kids. Now we're up to almost 45, 50 kids, and all this stuff was coming out of my pocket until, you know, it still is almost basically because I'm not even getting no grants, to be honest, yet. So until RCM, Dr. Gwen Andrews, and, you know, with the help of Parks and Rec, we're starting to get things rolling now. But this has been pocketed every day by me, you know. And, you know, as, you know, you don't look for things to blow, but it just took off, you know. And you know, that's fine. And I don't even look, like I said, for no payment, but I just want to help. That's all I want to do is help.
I understand that, and you know, like I know, doing it from a grassroots level, because you're not connected to the nonprofit, what I call the nonprofit glass ceiling, where if you don't know anybody or you don't have no connection, you ain't going to get no money, right? You got to have certain things in place, and you got to know people to get in that system. And so because a lot of things are sweat equity and paying out your pocket or donations, right? How do you keep that going, right? Because I know we've been doing this work a long time, and it takes support, right? It takes people, you know, like you said, to really help that process along. And we know how hard it is, because the key central issue you mentioned earlier that I want to go back to is poverty, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is poverty influencing what happens in the community? And then how is that affecting you, right, as a facilitator and as a coordinator of your program?
No, poverty is a big problem. You know, it's a big problem. And we're not even talking about like the financial poverty. It's just the not knowing poverty, just the crime of the poverty that, you know, it's just all that, you know, and I try to even talk to my young brothers, and I go up to, you know, the spaces where they be, and just the purpose of poverty can even just lower the property value. They don't even know that. Just crime can lower the property value. And they, you know, as we see with the gentrification in the wild, Jackson Ward, you know, Gim Quarter's not even going to be here in a minute because, you know, they moving in. And we on prime real estate. And I sat in one of these you know, meetings with these people, not even knowing I'm a kid from Jackson Ward, and the guy said that we're poor people living on rich soil.
Mm. Wow. Let's think about that for a minute. 845-277-9250. Right? We know that for many of our communities, poverty is the real issue. Right, and as the brother just said, if you got poor people living on rich land, you're going to get moved out sooner or later. So economically, right, from your perspective, what are some things that we need to do, Coach Lowe, to get that thing back on track? Or what can anybody do economically for your community or the community you serve to raise that community up?
I just think what are we doing now? We're going to have to work together. You know, I'm a firm believer, man. If anybody's sincere, you know, I meet a lot of people every day that act like they care about this community and they care about the people, but they really don't. It's a check behind it, or it's the grip and grin, or it's for the camera. You know, so after a while, it starts sounding the same with me, because if somebody going to work and handle their business, being from the streets, they taught me gangsters move in silence. I'm not going to come in and keep telling you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to come in and get to work with you. But we need to work together, man, because, like I said, I'm a firm believer of the power of partnership. So if it's a lot of people out here getting grants and not doing no work. I sat in a lot of meetings before I got to where I'm at, and people were getting 2 and 3 grants a year but not even stepping foot in my neighborhood. Used to. Keyword is used to, because you're not coming through now doing none of that no more. None of that.
How
you're not
that?
Helping my community. You're not helping my people. You're not helping these kids. You're going to get ushered out. So we just need to work together. Anybody that want to get, you know, that deal with somebody that's really in the trenches that day, then they're more than welcome to come see me. But we're going to have to work together as a people, because nobody's going to save us. And we're losing as a race. We're losing.
All right. This is Brother Rodney Low Taylor, Coach Low, known by many. And the brother is here to tell his story about his upbringing and the work that he's doing right now. 845-277-9250 is the call-in line. We'll take calls at the top of the hour. Slido is in effect today. Slido is at slido.com, 307-2304. Check in with Brother Low. And again, right, Brother Low just said it really clear. If we call it poverty pimping, right, where they get the money. It's true, right, and they don't do programs, or they're not culturally relevant program, but people are getting paid to so supposedly help us, right? I'm talking about people, if you know what the real deal is, like Brother Low knows, it's some stuff going on in these communities, and there's some people who are benefiting from the poverty and from the pain and from the drugs and from the killing and from the abuse and from the pain, and they're not helping. They're not, and he just said it. Don't come through here acting like you trying to scan and grin and you ain't doing nothing for real. And that's the stance, right? Not being mean to folk, but people have agendas all the time to make you think that they're really trying to help. But this brother knows what's going on the ground. So as a correspondent, Brother Low, tell our people, our listeners, this is African-American Empowerment, what's going on the ground?
Like I said, we losing, man. We're losing, man. And every day we're losing. You know, like I said, it's people that, you know, writing proposals and getting grants and acting like they're coming through. But if we think about it, it don't even make sense. If all these people would be helping, then why are we still losing? Like, if these people getting grants and they coming through with all these programs and all this stuff, then why are we losing? It don't even make sense. And we're not gonna be, I'm not gonna play part of that game. I'm not gonna let if they want to give me grants, I'm not gonna let nobody get me off my mission because of some little change they're gonna do. You're not gonna run my program because you don't. And I would rather get it from the ground. I would rather get it from the mud and make mud pies than be pimped by a dollar, because I'm not going to never sell out myself or my people. Well, yes, yeah, a lot of people that have been grants for years and haven't touched the soul.
You heard it. You're listening live to African American Empowerment. Brother Rodney Low Taylor is on. He's a community activist. He's also a mentor, a coach, and so much more to our children and our youth, and even families, right? So let's talk about with on the ground today, right, grassroots. What is the condition of the family from your perspective, Brother Low?
The families.
Yep.
You see the families?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's
the way
it's
you
just,
see it.
I just see a lot of the you know, young brothers, man, they being raised by women. And, you know, that was a design. You know, and the reason why our young brothers are hurting each other because they're emotional. Man, and even, you know, somebody told me a man can't teach a woman how to be a little girl, how to be a woman. And it's a lot of strong sisters out here. You know, and I'm sure they're doing. You know, my mother was strong, but she couldn't teach me how to be a man. So just a lot of these homes are broken, man, and they – you know, our brothers are misguided, you know, and I see, you know, the young brothers want, you know, quick to hurt each other, and our sisters are just, like, so provocative and loose, man, at a young age. It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. You know, and I just see this every day. Hmm? Corey?
that's really interesting, you know, that you characterize it that way, because, you know, that is what it is, right? Those are the facts, right? And let's go back to earlier we talked about discipline, right? And self-discipline. How do you see discipline being taught or being modeled in the community right now?
Can you repeat that again? Can you repeat that for me again?
Yeah, how do you see self-discipline being taught in the community? Right, you talked about the young men and the young ladies and parenting. How is self-discipline a part of that dynamic?
There is no self-discipline. You know, it's a lot of people just going along to get along. And they, you know, you got to know better to do better, and a lot of them don't. So you got to have discipline to be disciplined. There is no discipline, you know?
True. So there's a bright spot in the community, and there are bright spots in the communities, but Brother Lowe is one of them, right, that's trying to bring life back to the community. And these are the kind of men, and these are the kind of people and the individuals that our children and our families need to continue to uplift. But it's programs like this and brothers like this that need support. So I'm going to bring Brother George in for a minute. I think he has a question or two for you as well, Coach Lowe. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. I wanted to ask Coach Lowe, at the very least, you know, to me it is, do you have a Cash App or someplace that people can send donations to assist you with the food program at least? And do you also need donations as far as materials for the, you know, for the children?
Yeah, like I said, I can, do you want me to give you the Cash App now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we do have a Cash App. There's $1, capital RODNY. That's the Cash App. And, like I said, Ms. Dr. Gwen, Andrews from RCM, she's, caught wind of the program. She's starting to help. Well, she's helping out. She's been helping out Parks and Rec. So we starting to, like, make traction, you know. And we just really want if people want to help, hey, fine. But, you know, if not, we're going to keep it moving. But our biggest thing is just even if people want to come donate, like, their time is just as valuable as money, you know. We just want our young, you know, heroes to be, you know, young kings and queens, some kind of professional, some kind of trade in life, some kind of skill set to, you know, anybody just take the money today, you know, but what about tomorrow? I want to teach them a life skill. I want to teach them a life trade,
right,
you know, too, as well, you know?
Right.
So Ms. Gwen, she's really been helping with that, you know, like stuff like that, you know, too,
right,
along with me, right? Yeah, but, you know, donations are fine, but, you know, just come through and, like, just help us with some mentoring, some tutoring, some stuff like that, you know, too, as well.
Right.
You know? Right.
Right. Okay. So you're there during the week from, like, 4 until 8 in the evening or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're up to like maybe probably like 9:30, to be honest. If no, I really don't have a time. You know, it's like whenever, you know, the kids, you know, want to stop. I keep it going to the kids want to, you know, be here, because just the other night, if somebody got shot, you know, in the neighborhood, so I don't even want them to leave. So we left like maybe 7 to 10, you know.
Right.
But Rhonda, you really share a really powerful story about the reality that's happening all around us, right? And so when you talk about drugs, right, and you talk about poverty, how do you see that combination, right, on the ground? And what is the influence that the poverty and the drugs are having on the behaviors of the people?
You know, like along with the, you know, with the poverty, you're going to, you know, desperate times cause with desperate measures. So that's the more the poverty, the more crime is going to increase, whether it's drugs, whether it's robbery, whether it's whatever, because, you know, everybody's in poverty. So my thing is now just going with the youth. I want to help get them jobs. So, you know, if that show you need money, we're going to teach you a trade, you know, help you get a job so you don't have to, you know, be on the corners or have to be out there, you know, with that. But the poverty increases the crime, you know?
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah. It does, right? So we're going to have to do a much better job, right, on the ground. Real people, me, you, us, and we working together to make a difference, right, right on the ground, because our people are in desperate need. And so we're going to go to the lines in just a minute. 845-277-9250. We got Slido wide open today. The number is at slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com. The number is 307-2304. We're talking to Coach Rodney Lowe Taylor. He is a humanitarian, an activist, a brother that's on the ground and seeing things happen and unfolding in the community, and he's doing the work. And so he's coming today to not only tell you what's going on, because there's some bright spots, and he's one of them, but there are a lot of things that we talk about on this show. But, you know, when you're hearing it live and it's real, then we have to start thinking about how we can impact the lives of our children, right? We need to be able to support a brother like this and other programs that are out here that need desperate help. Then we're going to go to the lines. And let's start with 804. I'm going to call, if you're not familiar, I'll call your area code and then your last four of your phone number, right? So I'm going to start out with area code 804, and the number is 8435. 8435, you're on live. You're up next. Do you have a question, comment, a statement for Brother Lowe today? 8435, you're on.
I guess basically I just wanted to ask, what are the type of the programs that you're doing for your nonprofit so we as listeners can understand what you have to offer to these communities? What are the programs and what traits and skill sets can young individuals learn so we can stop this cycle of, you know, the cycle of poverty that you guys are talking about?
Well,
right,
thank you.
You said what programs do I have?
Yes, like what programs or what are the things that you are helping these young individuals with? Like what skill sets are you teaching them so that way we can stop this cycle of poverty that you guys are talking about?
All right, so we we have more crime prevention first. Crime prevention, gang prevention, life skills. So we want to happen with a trade also too. Like I said, if the kids are not in the streets, if they're at work, it's kind of hard to be in the streets to commit a crime because you're at work. So before my first result means of making money was the streets, because that's what I knew first. But if I'm taught a skill set, or if I'm taught a work ethic, then I'm going to work and get my money. You know, that has to be a mindset and a skill set. You know, everybody can. It takes a strong person to get up every day and go to work. But I've figured out that it was easier for me to go to work than me getting up every day and going and hit the corner. You know what I'm saying? Like, so just teach them a skill set, a life skill, you know, a trade, like how to prevent crimes, how to prevent being a part of gangs, and just life skills. You know, just all that stuff will put them ahead of, like, just resort to the street first, because that was the first notion I had, was the street first, instead of me going to find a job, you know? So.
Okay, I just wanted to add, like, could you name some of the things that you are offering in your program? Like, what are you offering specifically?
I say I'm offering, like, jobs. We have, but the people that, the teenagers, that they can get jobs. So we help them with jobs. Those kids get jobs. So we have, like, maybe 4 or 5 kids that have jobs now that wasn't working. They're not in school. They just was on, they was in the streets. So we got 5 kids now out of 7 that has jobs. So we're offering jobs. Then we're offering life skills, how to survive in life, how to endure life, crime prevention. Like, I don't think you understand, like, it's so easy to go ahead and commit a crime before somebody would want to go get a job. And then gang prevention. These gangs are recruiting these kids. So we teach them how to stay away from that. Like, you know, and I want, we, they learn in the professional way of doing things, of having a life skill, you know, some kind of trade, you know, as far as like carpentry, barber. You know, we have beauticians come over here, nail technicians. We have all these people that's in this field come to talk to these kids. So they're learning all these skills too. Why they have done their homework, why they have had a meal. We also have these people that come, accountants, lawyers, deputies, policemen. So they get to see and touch this to know that it's real, not just hearing about it. We have these kind of, you know, professionals coming through to teach them a life skill if they want to come, you know, a work skill if they want to, you know, get into that field. That's it.
All right.
Thank you for that answer. That answered my question. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for calling. That's pretty good. There's a lot, right? And you know, Lo, that there are a lot of needs, right? Our kids have a lot of needs. And so to address those needs, one, you need resources, but you also need people who are willing to give their time and their effort and their energy, right? And so you're doing a great job with that work, man. Keep it up. Let's go back to the lines. We're going over to Brother Lush, 0148. Brother Lush, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. And it's a pleasure to hear you, Coach Lo, in the efforts that you are trying to make a difference in Virginia. My question to you, though, is how are you doing? You know, sometimes we're doing all of this work for everyone else and not really looking at the person in and of themselves. So my question, if you would be willing to share, is how are you doing in the struggle at all? Thank you for allowing me to speak.
That's a great question. I'm doing fine. I think my therapy is helping, you know, other people. So my family is very supportive. They keep me grounded. They keep me uplifted. They keep me focused. So this is me coming back and, you know, helping my neighborhood that I'm from, I was born and raised in, my family from. Just me coming back is very therapeutic to me. You know, just giving a blessing, it just helps me. You know, there's nothing better than helping somebody, to me. You know, so yeah, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brother Lush.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Brother Lush is in Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm.
And so he's calling in today. So we thank you for your support. So for those who are in Richmond, right, on the ground here with us, I'm going to go to Slido, and I'll read the first Slido. I like your story. How can someone help? What would you say for those who live in Richmond? Well, you don't have to live in Richmond. You could be in Montgomery, where Brother Lush is. How can someone help you, Brother Lo?
I just said, if they want to, like, just – I'd rather have somebody, you know, time first. If they want to, like, make donations or contributions, hey, fine. But I'd rather for somebody to just come, you know, come in the war with me and help me fight. Just come in the trenches with me, you know, because one soldier can't win the battle. You know, even though people say I'm a one-man army, I guess, but just to come help, just come help, man. You know, like I said, I'm a firm believer in the power of, you know, partnership. But if the time can't be available, whatever, you want to make donations, say fine. But other than that, man, just come help.
Come and help. Now, let's be frank. We got to be honest, right? Some of our people are afraid. You said there's poverty, there's drugs, there's killing, there's gang members. Right, there's so much going on, and people are saying, you know, I got to be afraid for my life because I hear it all the time. Right, I'm worried about, am I safe? If somebody came to volunteer at the Calhoun Center, because you know you saw me over there, what would you tell a person about how, being safe? Right, like you said, somebody got shot the other day, so that would kind of keep somebody in saying, well, you know, that might happen to me. How would you support and encourage somebody who wanted to volunteer their time to come into that community and feel safe?
Me being from, like I said, from me being from the neighborhood, this Calhoun Street, Calhoun has always been sacred grounds, like always been sacred grounds. So that's the last thing something's going to happen, you know, to somebody down Calhoun, you know, and we do got security stuff too. And I'm from the streets too, but you know, like, That's the least of their worries. You know, this is sacred ground. It's already understood what the guys on the streets is already understood. Like, these are where the babies at. You know, it would be a price to pay to violate that law. This was a law before me, and we still uphold it to this day. Like, this is sacred grounds for the babies. Let the kids be the kids. Let the women be, you know, the women and kids are, you know, you can't touch that. You can't do that. That's law. And we do follow
right,
law.
So there are rules to the
right.
game, and there's rules of engagement. So you want to
right.
stop by, if you want to contact Coach Lowe, Brother Lowe, we're going to get that information to you today before we leave. So you can give your time, and you can give your resources as well to help the process. Let's go back to Slido before we go to the line. Here's the next question, Brother Lowe. Feel alone when working in the community, and it seems as if you're doing a lot. Like you said, you're a one-man game. Do you feel alone, and do you feel by yourself? Like Brother Les said, how are you? And so is it like the Lone Ranger? Are you the one-man gang? How does that make you feel?
No, I feel like it's, you know, I feel like it's less people than more, but it's people that do help. It's some people from IHA, other organizations, STEP, like I said, the ambassadors. It's other organizations down here. I think they let me, because of my rapport with the neighborhood and because I'm from the neighborhood, they might let me take the forefront on a lot of things. But, you know, it's other, I don't want nobody to just think it's just me, you know. There's other people that really, really have the passion to help. So, you know, like I said, and everybody works together. You know, all of us work together. Pox and Rec, like I said, RCM, Dr. Gwen, like the ambassadors, you know, y'all part of the ambassador. It's other people down here that want to help, but yeah, it's going to take a joint effort. And I love this, man. Me being here where I'm at is a blessing because I'm really a kid from the streets. So to be here where I came up at and to come back to my neighborhood and the center that I grew up in and be an integral part of it, I would have never in a million years imagined this.
Wow. All right, you're listening live to Coach Lowe at African American Empowerment Saturday. 845-277-9250 is the call-in number. Again, Slido is there and it's available. It is slido.com, 703-2304. Let's go back to the lines. We're going over to 804-7841, 804-7841. If that's your number, you're on live. Do you have a question, comment, or statement for Brother Lowe?
Hi, Brother Lowe. My name is Anubia. Greetings to
How
everybody.
Doing?
Peace.
How you doing?
Yeah. Hey, Coach. So,
hey, how you doing?
Brother Lowe, thank you for what you're doing. You are a soldier. I want to answer your question. You said, I want to say a lot of things to you, but what the one thing I don't want to get off the phone without saying to you is your question. You said, if everybody is helping, then why are we losing? And the answer to that is we are not losing, but we are losing a lot of soldiers. This is a battle. You are in the trenches, and you have been chosen for this battle. But this is a war that has been going on for a long time. You have been chosen for this battle in this place and in this time. But this war is international. You have been chosen to, you were raised in that environment on purpose because you were needed to be a general in that particular battle. And that's why you're there for that. I want you to stay focused on the fact that you are part of a much bigger war and you were assigned, that's your post. And that's why you feel so passionate about it. It is yours, right? You know what's sacred. You know the rules. You know all of that because it's yours, and you are assigned that, and it's yours. But the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making us think that we were alone, and you are not. And if you could somehow get connected to all the other generals that are all across the country, doing the same thing you're doing with their own money, out of sometimes out of their own house, it is happening. And we are losing a lot of soldiers, but we are not losing the war. And the proof that we're not losing the war is that a single woman can still raise a general like you. That's the proof. That's the proof. And the brother that calls in and asks about how you're doing, that's incredibly important, okay? And your response was that you have a very good support system, and the fact that you understand and know what your therapy is in that, that self-care, you know when to retreat, you know when to take care of yourself. You have been divinely designed for that post. But it's a war. And that's your battle. And it's bigger. It's like, I want you to never forget, you are one episode in a huge series of events. And you are not alone. And the war is not, we are not losing. And the fact that you exist and what you're doing, in spite of everything that you came up against, that's the evidence that we ain't losing. All right, my man?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, don't you ever forget that.
Appreciate that, Doctor.
And the other thing is this. The other thing is this. We not doing what we need to do. Those people that's pimping that money, man, that been going on for a long time, too. When you look at the history of the Panthers, that money, all what they are, that been going on for a long time. The Panthers started, gangs started, the whole history of gangs started was because they had to come together to feed their own kids. The whole breakfast and school system started because they started feeding their kids breakfast before school. The government didn't even start that. We started that in communities like what you're doing. Okay, so this has been going on for a long time. So we failing ourselves. Okay? But like
yes,
you
ma'am.
Said, what you need time. You need people to come in and work. Roll up your sleeves, man. You can, I'm not going to tell you don't cash out me because money is what moves things around here, yeah. But come on, let's get with it. So make sure everybody on this call know, and make sure everybody that know these people on this call know exactly how they can contribute. Absolutely. There was one thing that you touched on that I would like, and I don't expect you to have the answer to this, but I would like for it to be explored in discussion now or another time. And you have a particular viewpoint from it, being raised by a single woman in that environment, right? And yes, a man does, a man child needs a man to grow, right?
Right.
But because of these battles we're having, right, so many of these man children are being left without that. And you have a lot of, you've got a lot of women, right, that want the best for their man children, right?
Right.
What do we tell those women to do? What can they do now in the present? Without, not like they don't have that man in the household, right?
Right.
They don't have that man in the household, right?
Mm-hmm.
What can they do to project that man child into manhood, right? And I, some of the answer would be like maybe your program, right, where y'all have mentors, y'all have, you know, people that are helping with showing them internships and, you know, just showing them education in terms of life and how they can, you know, jobs and lifestyles and just exposing them to other things and stuff like that. But I think that's what the women need to know, right? And it's not even, it's not a debate. I'm not saying, like, debate if a woman could raise a man. Like, come on, we passed that. But
right.
What do they need? Because the fact of the matter is that's where they at.
Right.
That's where we
True.
At. So
right.
What do we do in the meantime? Right? Because those male children are in that household, then the most effective person is going to be that black woman.
Right.
So if we could give her the seed, we might have a half a chance. But I appreciate what you're doing, brother. I do. So
appreciate
so know that you have been promoted. And not just promoted, you have been designed. Because who else could do what you're doing? Who else got
right.
your had your struggle? Who else? It ain't
right.
who else
wow.
have your respect. Nobody else could have did it. Your book, your story was written before you were here.
Appreciate
but
that.
Try to reach out to the rest of your other, try to reach out to the rest of your peer around the country because they have conferences. They with social media, they connected. Yeah, some people have been taking that money from it. And the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. It's not going to be their money that bring us up. It's not. We make enough money. It's not that we don't make enough money. It's that we don't invest in ourselves.
Right. Wow. All right, Anubi.
Okay.
You rolling
I
today. I got to hold because I got a couple of more calls
appreciate
I want to
yeah,
to. But thank
it,
you.
That's it. I'm done.
Appreciate
I'm done.
Your call,
yes,
Lo.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Mm-hmm. Answer that question, then we're going to jump on over to 6644. Thank you so much, Anubia. That
no,
is powerful. Okay. 6644. Okay.
You want to?
6644.
You know,
what is it? Robert,
you got to talk.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, let's do that. It's, as long as no meat or nothing is in it.
No.
Lo, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Y'all making
hey,
me
look,
hungry.
Give me some fries with that. Give me some fries. Anubia, thank you, sister. All right, let's go on over to 0121. 0121. Let's see what you got. Thank you, friend. 0121, you're live. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Lo? 804-0121.
Hey, brother. This is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Yeah, how y'all doing? I just signed on, so I missed most of the show.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm laying down at 1025 where I'm at in Abydos, Egypt.
Wow. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm on a two-week tour of the motherland.
This Rick? This is Rick?
Yeah, this is Rick. This is Rick.
Yeah, how you doing, man? How you doing? How you doing, man?
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. Doing good, doing good. Seeing
okay.
a lot of sight.
Right, so
seeing a lot of
you come back, we just
got to
do a
wall.
Show. whole tour, right? So we got Brother Lil on the line today. He's talking about the work that he's doing, that we working and supporting, and the things that he's doing. So just wanted to get you in, Brother Rick, to kind of tell what's going on real quick over there in Egypt.
Yeah, my mind is being blown. I came over already knowing that, you know, there's a lot of us here, and we're here from the very beginning. So I signed up for a tour that would help explain some of the things that we see on the walls besides just us, like what some of the signs and symbols mean, what our people are really doing and trying to get across to us, and how some of the stuff is, like, still mysterious. Like, our whole planet is a people of with amnesia. There's a lot of stuff we still don't know. Our history goes back a long, long time, way past 6,000 years that the Bible tells us.
Way past. All right, Brother Rick, we're going to have to get you on the show when you get back, so hit me up when you get back, and we appreciate you calling in from... That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Brother Lowe, we're going to take one more call before we wrap up today. And we're going to go back to 6644, 804-6644. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Lowe? 6644. Yes. 6644.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So first off, you know, I'd like to thank, you know, the impact that you all have on this station. This is very meaningful, and it sheds light in areas where many people may not want to have the, I say, the kahunas to even talk about. You know, the show is going to be, like Coach Lowe, he giving it to you about, because it's truth. And, you know, day by day, and I've been down to the Calhoun Center, and I see how he operates, and, you know, I appreciate his dedication. And also I do appreciate that the viewers also acknowledging, you know, his efforts, and acknowledging him as a person, because it is fact when it comes down to individuals that, like us, that are community organizers and activists. You know, a lot of times we pour our life and our soul so much into others, and it feels like it's not being reciprocated. And we seem and feel like we're been forgotten. But though I know I hear Brother Lowe, he mentioned, say, everything's okay and everything's good, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to mention where we need help, where you need help in a fashion to help to support. Help to help, and I do want to commend and I appreciate, you know, all the efforts on a daily basis. So,
all right, thank you, brother. We
appreciate
you calling. We got 1 minute, so I'm gonna let Brother Lowe take it from here. All right, Coach Lowe, you've been good. Thank you so much for calling. It's been a great show. Now, from here on out, you're wrapping it up today, Coach Lowe. How do they get in contact with you? How do they help? You gave your Cash App. You can give it again, and you just wrap up the show with your final comments.
Yeah, can I answer that question? Can I go back to that question?
Yes, sir.
That
go right ahead.
For all the you know, the strong sisters out here, strong women out here, you know, like my mom and stuff. She let me be around positive males, and she let them mold me, correct me. Shape me. You know, a lot of these sisters don't want nobody to say nothing to their child. You know, even when they wrong, like you, if the male figure's not there, then why not let another a male, well, a strong male, like help you with him? It's not saying nothing less about you as a woman, but why not have somebody help? So when I was, you know, I was eventually taller than my mother as a 13-year-old kid. So, you know, there wasn't really nothing she could, a behind whooping was nothing. I couldn't even feel it, you know. So she let the strong males have me, you know, like do someone talk to them or, you know, discipline them. So that's one way. It's some strong brothers out here that want to, like, help and want to, like, you know, discipline. Not saying put hands on them, but just correct them verbally. Like, that's not right, brother, do this. Or, you know, just want to help out prayer. So, it's, again, it's going to come back to us helping each other, men and women. You know, why not, especially if the father's not there? Whether purposely or not purposely, we got to just help each other. So that's one of the ways of the sisters help to raise a young brother to a strong man, is by letting a strong man help you raise him. You know, that's my response to you know, her question. You feel me, brother?
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you for that. And now tell us about how people can give their time and their resources to your cause.
Well, I'd be at Calhoun every day from 9 o'clock to 9 at night. So you can come, just ask for me personally if you're not here. The Cash App is $ROD NY. That's the Cash App. And my email address is lowercase RODNEY Rodney Taylor, TAYLOR, all that's together, lowercase, 726@yahoo.com. Don't be mad at me about the Yahoo thing. I'm a dinosaur. So, but yeah, that's again, Rodney Taylor, everything lowercase, 726@yahoo.com. And again, my Cash App is $ROD NY. So that's how you can reach me. Or if you're in the city, just stop by Calhoun, and you know, I'm my door is always open.
All right, what's the address over there at Calhoun?
436 Calhoun Street.
436 Calhoun Street.
Calhoun.
Stop by.
Yep.
Cash App, call, email, do what you need to do. And if you need to get in contact with Brother Lowe personally, you could just call me and contact me, and I'll get you in his hands. Again, there's some rules that are being followed over in the community, so feel safe to go on by. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Rodney, mm-hmm. Coach Lowe, thank you, and I'll give you the last words. What you got for him?
And I just appreciate you, man, for the opportunity, brother. Man, this is more than homage, man. You and Brother George, man. When y'all asked me to do it, I was just so, like, honored, man, because I know you brothers are strong. I know you're good brothers, man. So to recognize what I'm doing, man, is confirmation that I'm doing something right, because y'all some good brothers, man. Y'all don't mess with anybody, man. So I already know, like, you know, it just was an honor to be a part of this, man. And I love what y'all are doing. I've been listening to the show, man. I just love just the positivity. We gotta recycle that and give it to our people, man. You know?
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
you. Brother,
and to wrap it up today,
Brother George.
Did you say me? All right. Rodney, I really appreciate what you're doing. And I'm going to be in touch with you because I'd like to do some mentoring, you know, but I need support when I'm mentoring, you know, from you in order to, you know, get their attention from the start. And then, you know, things will roll. But I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. I appreciate that, man. You know, I got you, brother.
All right. Thank you.
Let's make a commitment, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Coach Lowe. Let's make a commitment to getting back to where we need to be, and that's getting back to work to help ourselves. And the work has to be done by us. It's got to be FUBU, by us, for us, and Coach Lowe is in the trenches. And, you know, I committed to Monday, so we'll come over. I'll be over there after 4 o'clock on each and every Monday going forward. So that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. And again, African-American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African-American or black or indigenous communities. We'll talk to y'all next week. Peace and blessings. Oh, by the way, we're having a Black History Month celebration, right, at the Downtown Library on the 10th and the 24th. We have Brother We'll have a live workshop. We'll have Brother Kebulent, and then on 24th, Dr. Bruce will be in town, and we'll have discussions and workshops. So show up for that. That's the 10th of February for Black History Month and the 24th. Until next week, peace and blessings. Share the show with somebody. Stop acting funny, y'all. Peace.